Welcome to our weekly Church on the Rock podcast. For more information, visit us at churchak.org, download our Church on the Rock AK app, or like us on our Facebook page. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy our weekly podcast.
And did you want to introduce your wife?
Yeah, I'm going to bring her up in a second.
Can I give you this then?
So perfect. Thank you.
So good to have you.
Thank you. So good to be here. What's up, Church on the Rock? So good to be back here with you. We love this church. I've been coming up here over the last few years. Actually, haven't over the last 2 years, but it's so good to be back here. My wife and I, we work with Youth with a Mission based out of Kona, Hawaii. So we have a big missions training base there. We train thousands of young people every year to go on short-term and long-term missions all over the world. And we love getting to send young people to share the good news of Jesus all over the world. We're going to share a little bit more about that tomorrow. We're also going to be at our booth, but I've been able to come up here the last few times, but I've never been able to bring my wife. So I want you to give a warm welcome to my wife, Jenny. Jenny, come on up. She's going to introduce our family. And then pray before we go into the sermon.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. We've been so wonderfully welcomed here. We love coming. I'm so glad I got to come this time. And I don't know if there's a photo of our family, but if there is, we can put it up there.
It'll be up there.
We have a lot of kids, and that's kind of a little bit of an outdated photo, but it was the only one where we're all looking at the camera and we're all together, which is kind of a miraculous work of God. If you have kids and they're all looking at the camera, you're just amazed. You keep that photo for a long time. But our oldest is 11. We have a 7, 6, 5, 4-year-old, and a 1.5-year-old. So we love our kids. We miss them. We've come away to Alaska without them on this trip. And they're praying for us and praying for all of you. And we just are so honored to be here. And the wider community we're a part of is Youth with a Mission Kona, specifically with the ministry Fire and Fragrance. And we just welcomed several hundred students to our campus a couple weeks ago to get started with this quarter DTS, Discipleship Training School. And it is just a joy to see our campus packed to the max.
Yeah.
So I know Johnny will share more about that. But I just want to say we're so honored to be here. I love hearing the spotlights of all the different missions workers and teams that are here. I'm in, like, provoked in the best way and impacted so deeply when I hear about the different stories and what is happening and what God's doing through each of these ministries. And as I was just worshiping here, I just think, and I think this a lot, just as followers of Jesus, we all think this, but I just want everyone to know about Jesus.
Yeah.
I want everyone to know, and that, like, true Jesus. And when I hear about the sexuality unmasked ministry and the Carry the Cure ministry and the Free Burma Rangers ministry, and I think about each of the individual lives that each of those ministries are impacting, they're hearing about true Jesus. And then I think about the wider Church of the Rock community, and I just think we all get to be a part of what is happening, and we all get to share true Jesus in our spheres of what we're doing each day, day in and day out. And so I get excited, and I really think it's God's dream that everyone would know about Jesus.
Yes.
So I'm excited to be alongside all of you. So was there anything else you wanted me to share?
Let's pray.
Okay.
That was amazing.
I will pray.
Isn't she the best? I've told everyone every time I come up here that she's cooler than me, and she's finally here, and now you all are seeing it, and I won't get invited back next time. You'll just invite Jenny. So
Jesus is the best, really.
Jesus
is the best.
Let's just
say that. Okay, I want to pray.
Yeah.
Lord, thank you so much for this church family that we're gathered with today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for believers all across the world that are worshiping you today and throughout their week, Lord Jesus. And I pray that as we gather here today, you would impart to us what is on your heart. May the words that Johnny speaks really truly be from your heart.
Yes,
and may we all be activated and impacted to do what you've called us each to do for your kingdom. And may we know your love for us so deeply. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jenny. So good to be together, friends. If you have your Bibles, grab them and open them to Acts chapter 1. We're just going to be in the scriptures this morning. I love the scriptures, and it is what, I mean, nothing has shaped me more in my life than reading the Bible and believing it and obeying it. And so that's what we're going to get to do today. I'll just add to what Jenny said. You know, it's just so crazy to hear all these ministries. Literally, we're walking into the church this morning, and we're talking about how I was like, maybe we should just quit everything we're doing and move to Burma with the Eubanks. You know, like every time I come here, then I ran into Bill Pagaran, and like never maybe in history has his ministry been more important than right now in a global pandemic. There's been more suicides in Gen Z than COVID deaths of Gen Z in the pandemic season. It's just such an amazing ministry. Gert, I can't say your name, but I love what you do. You know, it's epic to follow Jesus together. But guys, as I was praying for you, as I was praying for Church on the Rock Wasilla, Church on the Rock Palmer, I'm speaking at here, I'm speaking at Wasilla right after this, and then I'm speaking also tomorrow night. And so I had the opportunity to pray and ask God, like, God, what are the messages that you want to bring to this church family that we love? You know, you have supported youth with a mission for many years. I don't know if you know that. You support our missions training base, and we're so grateful for it. Strong support. Jonathan Walker has come out and spoken. Many of your young people have come and gotten trained with us. It's incredible. We're so grateful for this church. And every time I get to come and worship Jesus here with you, it's amazing. I mean, worship was thrilling this morning. It's just a joy to gather with the people of God. And I love the Echo Conference. It's an amazing thing. You know, you get to hear from all these incredible missionaries who are doing amazing stuff all over the world. But I want to tell you that Jesus' plan for reaching the world isn't just through a few amazing people. His plan is actually through a bunch of normal people who are filled with a supernatural Holy Spirit, empowered to do the work of ministry. And this is, as I was praying for you as a church family, this is the message I felt that the Lord had for us this morning, was from Acts chapter 1, and then we're going to look a couple of chapters later on as well, but that something would be implanted in your heart this morning, that actually if I feel normal, if I feel weak, if I feel not very eloquent, if I feel like not like the guys I see on the stage or like the church leaders or whatever, then you're actually perfectly tooled up because of the Holy Spirit to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth here in your city. And so let's read this together. You guys know these verses, but this is where we're going to start off with. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is Jesus. In my Bible, it's a red letter Bible. So, you know, whenever you see those red letters, you want to pay attention. And just bear in mind, this is only a few weeks after Jesus has died and risen from the dead. And so the disciples have not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. A couple pages before in your Bible, you might see him in John chapter 21. They've seen the resurrected Lord, and yet they're going back to fishing, okay? They're going back to what they were doing before they ever met the Messiah. They're struggling to figure out who he is. They're scared. And Jesus says this, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." I love this verse for a lot of reasons, but one of them is I live in Hawaii, and right now we're in Alaska, and we are in two of the most remote places from where Jesus said this. And the reason that we are talking about him today is because power filled normal people, and they went. Okay? It's pretty exciting, but let me just give you a little bit of context for Acts chapter 1 and reading this passage, okay? The book of Acts was written by Luke. Luke was a doctor. He wrote the book of Luke. And at the start of the book of Luke, he says, hey, he's writing to his friend Theophilus, which means, the name literally means loved by God. So I don't know if that was a real guy or if he's just writing to me because I love God. And so, you know, maybe it was just written to me. He's writing the book of Luke. He says, hey, Luke, I've written down an orderly account of everything that Jesus did because I want you to know who he was. And so Luke, he writes Luke like a doctor. It's detailed. I mean, he clearly interviewed like Mary, Jesus' mother, and gets a story about Jesus' childhood. Luke has gone into detail to go, who was Jesus when he walked on the earth? Luke wasn't an apostle. He got saved later through the ministry of Paul. So Luke had to go back and figure out what actually happened when Jesus walked on the earth. And he's careful to record the works that Jesus did, the miracles that he did, the supernatural things that Jesus did. Well, Luke then writes a second book. And in the start of the second book, he talks, this is the book of Acts, he talks to Theophilus again. And he says, hey, Theophilus, the first book was all about everything that Jesus did and taught until he was taken up into heaven. But then I'm writing this book now because I want to tell you what happened after. And so after Jesus was taken up. Now, if you read the book of Acts, and I highly recommend that you do, you know, sometimes, this is just for free, guys, but sometimes we like to, you know, use the Bible, like, you know, Bible roulette. Have you ever done this, or is it just me, where you, like, flip open and go, oh, here, and you read a verse, and you're like, that's great, that's that for the day, and you walk away, which it'd be like, you know, watching The Lord of the Rings and, like, just starting it halfway through the second movie and seeing 5 minutes of the Battle of Helm's Deep and then shutting it, and then, you know, starting the first movie and seeing the beginning part at the Shire, and then, like, going to the end and seeing the return of the king and trying to figure out the story. It's, like, not a great way to watch Lord of the Rings. It's actually not a great way to read the Bible. A great way to read it is just to read a book all the way through one at a time, you know? And that's what I've been doing for years now. And if you're young and you're not really into the scriptures, just maybe start doing that, okay? But if you read the book of Acts, Luke is careful to make sure this book mirrors the book of Luke. And he's trying to demonstrate something to us very clearly. He's trying to demonstrate that normal people in the book of Acts, not supernatural, not the Son of God, but normal people, you find them in the book of Acts doing the same things that Jesus did in the book of Luke, which is crazy. Now, we're a little bit used to it maybe because we've sat in church for a long time, but normal people do things that normal people should not do in this book, and it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pick it up here in Acts chapter 3, and we're just going to speed through one of my favorite stories, okay? And you can kind of follow along in your Bible. I'm going to paraphrase some parts because we don't have time to go, you know, line by line through the story. But this is an amazing story. This is after the Holy Spirit has come and empowered the disciples. The day of Pentecost has happened. And by the way, you know, that's pretty crazy because Pentecost is just 50 days after the Passover and 7 weeks after the Passover where the disciples were afraid and ran away from Jesus. In the same city where they crucified Jesus, empowered with the Holy Spirit, they're bold. They're proclaiming the gospel. 3,000 people have just gotten saved. It's amazing. That is what has just happened in Acts chapter 2. And then we pick up in Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Literally about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's an ordinary day. It's a normal day. They're Jews. So what do they do at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a normal day? Peter and John, they go to pray at the temple. They're just going about their daily business. There's nothing apostolic about this moment. They're just doing normal life, okay? They're doing normal life, and a man who was lame from birth was being carried, whom they'd laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask for alms of those entering the temple. Okay, let's just notice, it's not like the guy like tripped over and sprained his ankle yesterday. This man was lame from birth. He's an adult now, not fully sure how old he is maybe, but, you know, it's been some time, 20 years maybe, of him being lame, and the only thing that he can do is sit and beg. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asks them to receive alms. He asks them for some money. Peter directs his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He fixes his attention on them. Peter said, "Hey, I don't have silver and gold. I forgot my wallet maybe this morning going to the temple. I don't have my wallet with me, but here's what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man, this is totally insane. Like, this shouldn't happen through a normal person. He took him up by the right hand, raised him up. Immediately his feet and ankles are made strong. And leaping up, he begins to walk and entering the temple with them, walking, leaping, praising God. And all the people see it, and they all recognize him as the one who had sat at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. This is just crazy. This is a guy who sat there for years and years and years and years, maybe 15 or 20 years at this point, maybe longer. Lame from birth. They all know him. They've all given him money here and there and all that kind of stuff. And Peter and John are going about their daily business one day, run into the same old guy that they would have seen in the temple for a long time, but something has changed on the inside. They've been with the Messiah, but now they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and suddenly there's a boldness and a courage in them to believe for something that is supernatural. He asks them for money. They say, hey, we don't have it, but here's what we do have. Boom. Instantly healed. Supernaturally, radically healed. And this is the same type of work that Jesus did. If you read Luke, he heals people that have been lame since they were kids or blind from birth or all those kind of things, right? Same miracles that Jesus does, normal people doing. But it's not just about the miracle. And the story goes on, okay? So he's clinging to Peter and John, the lame guy, because he's just freaking out. Can't believe he's healed. My legs are working. It's crazy. Everyone is astounded, and it's just great. It's pandemonium in there. People are running. People are shouting. People are pressing. They're trying to see all that kind of stuff. And then Peter stands up, and he addresses the people. Verse 12, he says, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this and stare at us as though we've done this by our power? We haven't done it by our power. 13, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus. Remember, like 7 weeks earlier, Jesus was crucified by the same crowd whom you did to release him, but you denied the Holy One, the Righteous One, asked for a murderer to be granted to you. You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead, and to this we are witnesses. What has happened to Peter? It's not just a supernatural moment, you know, where the guy got healed and that would have been cool, but something fundamental has shifted on the inside of him. This is the same guy who, a few pages earlier, if you read your Bible, just in the book of John, denies Jesus 3 times. And it's the same crowd of people, and he's in the temple. This is where those all the priests are, and the high priest, and everyone who killed Jesus. And Peter, he's not even trying to hold back. He's not scared one little bit. He is going for the throat right here. He's going, you are the ones who crucified Jesus. He's the author of life. And actually now he's raised from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. By his power and in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man his perfect health in the presence of all. He is testifying about Jesus. Well, the story goes on. He preaches an amazing sermon, by the way. It's astounding. He's quoting prophecy after prophecy from the Old Testament. It's amazing. Now they're speaking, chapter 4, we're going fast here. The priests and the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, come upon them greatly annoyed because they're teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead, okay? And they arrest him and they put him in custody until the next day. But many of those who heard the word already believed, which is amazing. But I want to focus in here on what happens the next day. On the next day, verse 5, they go before the high priest, Caiaphas, okay? They're taken in front of them. They start to question them. They say, by what power did this man get healed? I mean, we can see he's healed, but what happened? And again, here's Peter again going for the jugular, but there's a key line in verse 8, chapter 4, verse 8, then it says this, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Not Peter drummed up his own courage or waited for the perfect moment or tried really hard to step out in faith. But no, he just was filled with the Holy Spirit. Said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By him, this man is standing before you well. Once again, Peter, where did he get this courage? It's unbelievable. Now he's not just in front of the crowd. He's literally in front of the very priests, the very same group of people that decided to crucify Jesus. Bold, unashamed, courageous. speaking the truth. There is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, check out this verse in verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, ordinary men, they were amazed, and they recognized that he had been with Jesus. Let me just read it one more time, because I don't know about you, I can't really identify very well, I'll just be honest with you, I don't identify very well with like the mega like evangelists and like the apostles of old and like great exploits. I feel really ordinary most of the time. You know, I wake up and I have to like rub the sleep out of my eyes and try and get faith for the day and have six kids running around me, and you know, Jenny and I, normal life is hard and it's real, you know. I don't identify with like the superheroes of faith. You know, I sit here and I listen to the Eubank family and, you know, they're planting rice under gunfire and I'm like, wow. I mean, I literally was getting nervous watching the video, guys, okay? Like my palms were sweating watching the video. Sometimes it's hard to identify with people who are doing great exploits. But when I read this, this sounds like me. When I read this, I go, that's recognizable as to who I am. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived they were uneducated, common men, ordinary men. They were astonished. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. Friends, if someone could say that about you and me, that they're like, hey, that Johnny guy, he's kind of ordinary. I mean, he was a shy kid growing up, and he's never been to Bible school, but like when I talk to him, it seems like he's hung out with Jesus a lot. That would be the win of my life. That would be the goal of everything that I could have of my life. And I want to tell you, this is Jesus' plan, actually. Jesus' plan for evangelizing the earth was not to take a few people and make them super important and awesome and put them on a stage and let everyone else listen to them. His plan was actually for ordinary people like you and me, filled with the Holy Spirit, to go and make disciples. I have a background in engineering. I'm kind of a geek when it comes to math, okay? And one of the things that we're doing with Youth with a Mission, we're all about trying to mobilize millennials and Gen Z into the mission movement. We're trying to raise up 200,000 young people for the mission movement, okay? In our generation, in our day. And by the way, if you want to hear about the Great Commission and the good news of where we're at, but also the challenges before us, come tomorrow night. I'm speaking tomorrow night. And I'm going to do my best to recruit every single one of you into missions, okay? I haven't told that to Jonathan Walker. I've told you, Chris. Maybe I've let it out of the bag now, hopefully. But let me just say, as part of what we do in mobilizing, we're putting on some stadium events. Now, we're pretty ordinary people. It's way over our heads, okay? But we're going to the Chiefs Stadium, Kansas City Chiefs, next May, okay? Arrowhead Stadium. We're gathering 70,000 people, and we're going to wave the flag for missions and try and recruit as many as possible into that stadium. In my engineering background, I just did some math, because the way of Jesus, it doesn't seem like it makes much sense. Jesus comes to bring the whole planet back to himself, and he does it by discipling 12 people. It doesn't seem to make sense. I'm like, Jesus, surely you should have gotten a stadium. You know, if I could sell out that stadium every night for the next 20 years, every single night for the next 20 years, 70,000 people, and if I could guarantee you that all of them were going to get saved. And then I came to you and said, hey, Chris, would you like to have that ministry? I'm going to sell out the stadium every night for the next 20 years, but you have to preach every night for the next 20 years, but all of them are going to get saved if you go. That would be pretty cool, don't you think? That'd be pretty amazing. I'm like, why didn't Jesus do that? He could have done it. He could have done something supernatural like that, but he doesn't do that. His strategy is actually ordinary people filled with the Holy Spirit. But his strategy is actually crazy multiplication. Do you know that? I guess there's probably, what, 150 of us in here? Do you know if all of us could share the gospel with one person this year? One person. And teach them to follow Jesus. One person this year. And teach them to do the same. So then a year from now, there would be 300 of us doing it. Do you follow? Chris has left. He's on his ministry. He's already seen hundreds of thousands, even a few million come to know Jesus 2 years from now. We're still at 300. our ministry looks kind of lame over here, but we've decided we're going the Jesus way. We're going ordinary people filled with the Holy Spirit way. You know, Chris will be ahead of us for about 20 years. Almost all of his time, he'll be ahead of us. But then something called exponential growth starts happening. And you know, the entire world would be not just evangelized, but discipled. Because you're getting a year per person to disciple them. The entire world would be discipled in about 25 years. Ordinary, unschooled people filled with an extraordinary Holy Spirit. I want to pray for you in just a minute, but I want to end with just another passage that burns in me and helps me remember. And I want to tell you a simple story about yesterday, and then I'm going to pray for you, okay? Super simple. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is talking about this. He's talking about how all he really wants to be is someone who shares the gospel. All he really wants to be is someone who makes much of Jesus. Let me tell you guys, let me just say this. You don't have to be the Bible scholar to share the gospel super well. You don't have to be a church leader to share it well. You have to be someone who hung out with Jesus. You have to be someone who is recognizable as having been with Jesus. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. He says this, When I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided, he made a decision. And by the way, if anyone could have done it, it was Paul. By the way, he was the educated one. He says this, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I, when I was with you, in weakness and much trembling. And my speech and my message was not in plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Friends, I see myself in this passage. I hope you can see yourself in this passage. If you look at yourself and you see weakness, fear, much trembling, and not plausible wisdom or lofty speech, then you're in a really good place to be used by God. You're in a really good place. I just want you to know that. Like, literally every single one of you, God loves you and has filled you with his Spirit and wants to use you to reach the people of Palmer today. So we're not the big guys who are here this week. We're the weak ones. If I could do one thing, it would just be to encourage you to follow Jesus and carry him in your calling where you're called tomorrow. Just want to tell you a little story just about the plane yesterday. We were flying up here on the plane, and you know, it was right near the end of our flight, and I had to use the restroom. So I got up and used the restroom, and then I was coming back out. You know, it's right by the galley where the flight attendants are, and the flight attendant was there, and she'd been really kind to us. Didn't you think, Jenny? She was just sweet. She was, like, really kind and, like, said hi to all the passengers and really nice. So I just wanted to encourage her. I wasn't even thinking about a gospel moment, but I just said, hey, just, you know, you're doing a really great job. Thank you so much. You know, what's your name? You know, she told me her name, and then we just talked for, like, 2 or 3 minutes. And she's like, you know, what are you doing in Alaska? Or she's like, do you live here? I'm like, oh, we live in Hawaii. Well, what are you coming to Anchorage for? And I said, oh, you know, we're going to a missions conference up there, teaching at a church. And I said, do you know Jesus? And she's like, well, I mean, I know who Jesus is. I wouldn't say blah, blah, blah. And I just said, well, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus. Is there anything that I could pray for you for? Like, we just love to pray. Like, is anything going on in your life? I just kind of spelled it out there, though. I didn't just go, hey, can I pray? I said, you know, we'd love to pray for you. Is there anything going on, any hardship, anything on your mind at all? And she stood there for a moment. She said, yeah, actually, there's a certain situation with my daughter. And she told me just 1 minute about the situation with her daughter. And I said, well, is it okay if I pray for you right now? I promise it won't be awkward. And we stood in the galley. I didn't touch her or lay my hand on her because of COVID. I didn't know what the rules are, you know. We're all wearing masks. And I just prayed for her, but just a heartfelt prayer of love. I just said, God, would you bless this lady? Would you help her with this situation? As I'm doing that, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to pray a couple of specific things. Say amen, look up. You know, it's like 45 seconds, and her eyes are filled with tears. She said, thank you so much. I said, hey, I just want to tell you, this is why Jesus came. It's not more complex than this. Jesus died and rose again so that his Holy Spirit could be on the inside of you, and he could teach you and help you to follow him every day and help you with these situations. And she thanked me so much, and I went and sat down, and that was the end of that moment. But let me tell you, it was so weak. It wasn't complex. I didn't share any super fancy theology, anything like that. It was just being available and listening to the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for you. But first, I just want to take 30 seconds, okay? And maybe just before we, I'm going to have you stand up in a minute, and I'm going to pray for you. Well, yeah, why don't we do it? Let's stand up now. Let's do it. Chris is ready. He was like ready to jump out of his prayer. But before I pray, I just am going to stand here for 30 seconds, and I just want to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, okay? I want to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about how he wants to empower you to share the gospel. And I want to ask him specifically to speak to you about someone in your life that you can actually share the love of Jesus with this week. This week. You know, on average, it takes someone 6 times hearing the gospel to come to Christ. 6 times. Okay? So that means that, like, if you just share with someone 1 time, you don't know where they are in that journey. You might not get them saved because you weren't the 6th on average. Okay? Paul says, you know, maybe you're the 3rd or the 4th. Or maybe you're the 1st. Doesn't matter, you know. Paul says, you know, one sows, the other reaps, the other waters. God's the one who makes it grow. It's just our job to go, Jesus, who do you want me to share to? Who do you want me to be a light to? Who can I, in weakness and trembling, carry the gospel to? So let's just wait on the Lord just for 30 seconds, and then I'm going to pray for you. Lord, would you speak to us about who in our lives you want us to share your goodness and your love with? Speak to us, please, in Jesus' name. And if there's someone that has come to mind, why don't you just, before the Lord, make your own simple yes to him of like, yes, God, I will do this. I'm going to look for the opportunity to share with that person this week. Why don't you just, in your own heart, make that declaration to the Lord this morning. Jesus, I want to thank you that you chose to use unschooled, ordinary men and women as your strategy for bringing the whole earth into the knowledge of you. God, I want to thank you that because of the power of the Holy Spirit, here we are in Alaska, in the ends of the earth, worshiping you because you filled normal people and they responded to you and said yes. Jesus, I want to ask you for this church, Church on the Rock Palmer. God, I want to ask you, it would be a people of weakness, a people of trembling. It'd be a people that don't have eloquent speech, but what they do have is the Holy Spirit. And what they do have is the power of God. And what they do have is that they have been with you, Jesus. God, I want to ask you that you would mark this congregation as a people who share your love and carry your love to the lost, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you fill us now? God, fill us for the work of ministry. Just put out your hands for a moment. Just hold them out before the Lord. Holy Spirit, I want to ask you that you would fill us afresh this morning for the work of ministering your gospel, God. Would you empower us by your Spirit? We can't do it without you, but with you, it can be supernatural. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more of our podcasts and to discover how you can connect, visit us at churchak.org or download our Church on the Rock AK app from either iTunes or Google Play.